Views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, and it's September 22nd. You know I can't hear myself, Aaron. Can you hear me? Or my mic is not clear. Put it.
No, I can't hear you, actually.
No, I can't hear myself, and hopefully I am on. But it is Friday, September 22nd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day, as we're going to have a dynamic conversation with two persons. Is it people who is vying for a position inside the union? There's going to be a big union election soon for the Bahamas Public Service Union, and they are going to plead the case on why they're the best fit. Now, we've had this particular group on before, and I said, no, I want to have a different type of interview, right? Yeah. I want to know these people personally, why they think they're the better choice. Right? Because I already heard the pronouncement of the vying for president person, right?
Right, the candidate for president from this particular team.
This particular team. And I said, I didn't know about these two individuals. I said, I want the listening audience to hear their voice, hear their message. So I want to have a conversation about that. But I have Erin Green with me. She stayed back to help me with this conversation. And so we'll go with that. You introduce the guests formally so that everyone knows who
you are. You sure you want me to introduce them?
Yes.
Right? So you know I'm here because I have a vetting program.
I know. That's why.
Okay.
You can do that.
So joining us in studio this morning are members of the We Care team vying for leadership in the Bahamas Public Service Union and the Public Service. Well, in the Bahamas Public Service Union. Joining us in studio, Mr. Livingston Ferguson, Superintendent of Customs, and he is vying for position of treasurer. And we have Ms. Lisa E. Ferguson-Boleg, who is the Chief Probation Officer in the Ministry of Social Services, and she is vying for the position of Executive Vice President.
Wait, both of them are Ferguson?
Yes, Mr. Nuri, which is why I thought you called me here today. Because, you know, I am concerned. We have an agricultural program hidden somewhere in the Bahamas.
Tell me about it.
Somebody is farming Hubert Alexander's.
What do you mean by that?
But, I mean, and it's a farm to parliament pipeline kind of wipe. There's a Hubert Alexander Minnis, there's a Hubert Alexander Chipman, and there's a Hubert Alexander Ingram.
Three different ones.
Right. And I realize that somebody is farming Ferguson's.
A lot of Ferguson's in the union.
It's a farm to the union pipeline.
Yeah.
And plenty of Ferguson's in the union.
I'm noticing that.
Yeah.
But these have some good Fergusons. Yeah.
They all good Fergusons, you know. They're all good Fergusons. I ain't never meet a bad Ferguson yet. Yeah. I just want to know why there's so many Fergusons. There must be a farm somewhere.
Yeah. But I want both candidates to introduce themselves in terms of how they got in the union. Are you all paid members in the union? Like, you know, what do you call the people who pay their dues?
You're a financial member.
I want to know if you financial.
Because I thought what you meant was, does the position you're attempting to secure as a member of the union?
I don't want to talk about the position as yet. I want to talk about these as individuals. They are individuals running. What makes them special that their union should consider them to be a part of their team, right? So, Ms. Boleg, we can go with you. Tell me about your professional life. Right, in a public service union, I mean public service, and then why you decide to run, why you think that I'm a regular public service person, why do I need to run?
Well, firstly,
you have to speak,
directly
turn it right to your face, yeah, you have to speak right into it, yeah.
Yes.
Firstly, let me say thank you to you, Mr. Nuri, and Ms. Green for allowing us this opportunity, and to say hello to all of my family, friends, and colleagues throughout the Bahama Islands, and especially to the members of the Bahamas Public Services Union. Let's go backwards. Who am I in the public service? I've served in the public service for over 27 years. I started off as a road traffic supervisor, believe it or not. My responsibilities there were to supervise public service drivers and
manage
them.
The fleets and the drivers.
Yes.
Okay.
So that included the taxis, the jitneys, the Surrey drivers. Okay. And at that point, I probably was weighing about 120 pounds. When I left from road traffic, I went into the Ministry of Social Services. It has always been a lifelong desire to help. Mm-hmm. And so I completed my associate's degree in social work at the then College of the Bahamas.
Okay.
I went back when they introduced the bachelor's degree in social work. So I am one of the first graduating class members of the bachelor's program in the College of the Bahamas.
And you were doing all of this while you were working in the public service?
Full-time work, mom and wife.
So you was a manager.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, with plenty types of experience under your belt.
And after doing that, 9 years later, I decided to get my grad degree, and so I joined Barry University, where I completed my master's degree in the field of social work with a concentration in trauma-informed care.
Okay.
Helping. And Ms. Green talked about the Ferguson name. My mother was born Hazel Ferguson in Hard Hill, Acklands. And all I know is farm, sea, and family.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that to say my mother was a person that took her hands to the ground to plow, to harvest, and to share.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved family so much she went looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all of what she left over, because I am the last of her seven children, sat right in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
And so as far as I know myself to be, I have always been a fighter for justice,
mm-hmm.
making certain that justice is served and that people are treated fairly, equally, and they are included.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times in my public service career, and I've been in the Ministry of Social Services for over 21 years, I've worked in different areas of the ministry, including different areas of the department.
Mm-hmm.
And as a probation officer, my primary focus was in the judiciary. So dealing with the probation reports, the executive clemencies, the community service clients, or the at-risk people that we seem to have a different opinion on.
Yeah.
I worked in the William A. Pratt Center for Girls as the social worker assigned there. I worked in the then Her Majesty's Prison as mm-hmm. the welfare officer assigned there. I worked in Sandilands Rehabilitation Center as the psychiatric social worker there.
Mm-hmm.
Left from there in my national parenting program as the assistant coordinator.
Pause. If you keep going, they're going to say we're giving the We Care team an unfair advantage because you are selling yourself, ma'am. The skill sets that you manifest and use within your professional life are obviously tools that can be used to enhance the public service union and to support the needs of its members, right, who, although are not coming to the social services, may be having the same issues in the workplace or in, because the workplace is more than just the office, right, in the wider workplace. This is Ms. Bowleg. I'm going to call you Ms. Ferguson because you was a Ferguson, right? But
oh, yeah.
Thank you. That's an awesome, awesome resume.
So, you know, so Mr. Nuri asks, and I thought I would give him just a little of
And you know, because I can see it, what has driven you to this place to be an advocate for members of the union within the public service.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. But also to find balance to, you know, it's not just the members, but it's also the public service itself.
Yes.
That you have to protect.
So let's go to Mr. Livingston Ferguson, because I want to be fair on that too. I want to know your career in terms of why you think you're suitable to run and represent the public service union.
All right. Well, good morning to you, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Bahamas. And good morning to all of our members in public service. My name is Livingston Ferguson, as was spoken earlier. I'm a superintendent at Bahamas Customs. I have been in the public service now for over 36 years. As it relates to my educational background, I have an associate's degree in public administration. I have a bachelor's in professional management with concentration in banking and finance. And I have a master's degree in public in finance. I'm also pursuing the LLB program at the University of the Bahamas. And upon completion, I hope to graduate with my LLB. So with that being said, as it relates to my role in the public service, I've had the opportunity not only to work in customs, where I've served in various capacities. I've worked in various stations here in New Providence and throughout the Family Islands, responsible for the collection of government's revenue. I also had the opportunity to work in the Ministry of Finance, particularly in, I worked in business license, I worked in real property tax, and also at the implementation of value-added tax. I was a part of the VAT team where we went out to educate the public on value-added tax. I later became the person in charge of the policy unit within VAT. But presently I'm back at Customs, where I'm working in our training section. So I look forward to doing my part going into the next election once my team is elected, and I'm sure we will be, in terms of assisting with the financial aspect of the union. Finance is my field. I come well qualified. I'm well experienced in that area. And we know that the union is presently facing some financial challenges.
But you're broke.
Yeah.
In fact, I was going to say, you listed all of these qualifications, very impressive, but do you know how to make a dollar out of 50 cents? Because I think that's what the union needs most right now.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And we understand the importance of that. And the We Care team has a plan to address those issues. You know, we don't believe in trying to attack persons, because I know there have been a lot of attacks on persons' character. And I feel that when individuals are vying for a seat in the election and they have to resolve to attack and not speaking to the plans that they have for its members, you are in a desperate state, okay? People want to hear the plans that you have for the union and its members. Where do you intend to take? Just a few months ago, staff within the union complained about not being paid. Okay, so yes, that we have some grave concerns as it relates to the present status of the financial situation within the union. But we do have a plan. Okay, and I know you had asked about myself. I don't know if you want me to go into our plan.
No,
at this time.
No, I remember only this. One thing. You from Acklands?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then go into the plan.
I also. And mind you, the reason why I'm trying not to have that heavy interview before, because we had
Mr. Pinder
here, and he gave us the plan.
Yes. Yes.
I understand what the plan is. Yes. You don't have to rehash the plan.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
My listening audience have heard the plan.
Okay.
You know? But I want to know you.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to know you. Okay. Right? Have any of you had union experience? Have you been intimately involved in the union before?
Yeah. You want to go ahead?
The answer to that question is yes. Even when I was not a union member, financial, I was interested in the business of what the union was doing for and about the people of the union. So I would be out and about asking questions wherever that opportunity arose. When I had the opportunity to formally connect myself, I was a shop steward under Mr. Pinder. I also assisted with looking at our career path. And for those that are under the sound of my voice, know how long the Ministry of Social Services, in particular the Department of Social Services, has been working on a career path for its staff. And so I was a part of that team that came together to look at that career path and to put a counter proposal together for the government on behalf of our staff. So yes, there is involvement.
Okay, same question, Mr.
Yes, Mr. yes, Mr. yes, yes. I've always been a part of the union. In regards to financials, I've been in the union now. I've been a member of the union for over 30 years. Mm. As a matter of fact, a few years back, I was asked to run for president. But, you know, the thing is, it is one thing looking at the union from an external perspective, but it's another when you get into it and look at all the intricacies of the union. I'm not a person that that's interested in position or name, etc. I want to be active. If I'm a part of something, I want to see it successful. And I decide to come in as treasurer because I want to know more about the intricacies of that entity itself and how we can build it to make it better. See, a lot of people may lobby for a certain position, but the question is, are you qualified? Are you aware of the internal aspect of it? Okay? Because the team that is running this election, I don't think any of them have ever served on an executive level within the union. Okay? And quite frankly, you know, we have to look at the well-being of our members. We need qualified, we need experienced individual. The next 3 years is going to be crucial for the union. And, you know, this is not an experimental thing, okay? Whatever decision that is made in reference to the next team that is in there as the leader or the individuals that lead this union, whatever decision is made, whatever they do, is going to impact a lot of people. And we have a lot of persons today who are desirous to leave the union because they feel that the union is not doing anything for them. We have persons who cannot get medical claims simply because checks are bouncing and nothing is happening. You are impacting the lives of individuals. Okay? So when you vie for a position, don't do it based on your personal desire to obtain that position. Do it knowing that you're coming in there to benefit the people that's going to be impacted by the decisions that you make.
Ms. Boleg, when is the election? And the second question would be is, what are you telling members or to get them out, to come out and vote?
The election for the Bahamas Public Services Union will be held on Wednesday.
This Wednesday coming?
This yes. Wednesday coming, the 27th of September.
Where? It's going to be?
The elections will be held island-wide.
I mean, where do they go to vote? That type of thing.
There are 6 polling divisions here in New Providence, and then the others are spread over the family of islands. So here in New Providence, you have the Department of Environmental Health Services, and that is an early poll, which means that voting starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. All of the polls will close at 5, but that particular poll will open at 6 a.m. There is a polling station at the Selinden Pinling International Airport, Princess Margaret Hospital, Sandilands Rehabilitation Center, the Bahamas Public Services Union Hall, and East Street South, and Sir Kendall G. L. Isaacs Gymnasium. Right. Mm-hmm. So those are the six that will be here in New Providence. Mm-hmm. There, the polling stations in Abaco, I am not 100% sure where all of them are, but as long as there is an administrative office on the island, those polls are there. And I say that because we only just had a meeting with Ministry of Labor and the other team members just Tuesday?
Yes.
No, today is Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday?
It was, yeah.
Wednesday. According to the Constitution, you know, these things should have happened 14 days in and mm-hmm. all of these other. But whatever the special circumstances, we were not privy to where these polling stations were. Even up to the day of the meeting, during the meeting, we were asking, where are all of these polling stations?
Let me ask Mr. Ferguson this. On that election day, we could call the Family Islands and, of course, the six polling stations in New Providence, right? How do your team plans to ensure that the integrity of the election in terms of everything is fair, like no skullduggery?
Yes, well, we intend to have persons at every location. As a matter of fact, this evening, we are having a meeting with our individuals that will be stationed at the various polling sites. We're going to have that meeting is a hybrid meeting because we want to involve persons in the Family Islands as well. We know that these individuals may not be privy, they may not have served in this capacity before, but we're going to train them on what to do, what to look for, to ensure that there is fairness. We information pertaining to the election, all that is like my colleague would have mentioned, you know, it's trickling in. I mean, we would have thought that a lot of things we would have known by this time. I don't know if that is being done intentional, but we are on this. And we're going to have trained individuals at those locations to ensure that there is fairness. So we're working on that.
I guess the last question I want to ask is about if the WeCare team becomes the management team for the BPSU, right? How do you intend on maintaining a balanced relationship with the government and the ministry responsible for the public service union? I know that unions and governments shouldn't be fighting each other, but I get very, very concerned when I hear unions and government saying, oh, we are the best of friends. And like that troubles me more than the rising tension between the government and the union. How does, and this is preface, let me preface it with my concern about the signing of the MOU with the PLP while they were in opposition,
right
during the last term. I'm very concerned about that. And the sort of lack of transparency regarding the relationship, right? How do you all intend on balancing the union's relationship with the government?
Well, I'll say this. You know, going into it, I am glad to see that we have a minister in the public service that appears to be doing what is best for the public service. Just this morning, in one of the local dailies, it was mentioned of a massive promotion exercise that is coming within the public service.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that this minister has the best interest of the public service at heart. And really, we just hope to help her along in terms of what is happening at this time. There are many persons in the public service that have not received promotions in a very long time. And as we canvass, as we move around, there are so many complaints about what is happening within the public service with respect to promotions, salaries, etc. So we intend to work along with the government. Mm-hmm. We're not going to work against them. We're going to work with them. Go ahead, Ms. Boley. I'll let you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Ferguson. And everything Mr. Ferguson says is completely accurate. one of the things that we share when we walk about and we speak to members is that this team is going to be held accountable. And we have said publicly, if our presidential candidate becomes the president and there are situations and concerns, we are willing to send him to prison. And so we look at it the same way. We are coming in this to be cordial, to be respectful, and to work collaboratively together. Mm-hmm. But if there are concerns that we need to address, then we will address those concerns the way in which we need to address them.
Right. I don't want to see unions congratulating governments for doing things that they have a contractual or statutory obligation to do anyway.
Well, you know, that's what's happening now. Yeah. Some places are taking credit for things that they really know nothing about. But the thing is, though, we're here to work for our members, okay? And we intend to do just that, putting our members. So whatever decisions make, we'll do it with the best interests of our members at heart.
How do you get in contact with you all?
The way you can get in contact with us is via our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And that is the BPSU We Care Team. Also, our phone contact is 357-9140. 357-9140.
Okay, thanks very much. That has been Miss Lisa Ferguson-Boleg, who is running for the Executive Vice President.
Right? Executive Vice President.
And Mr. Livingston Ferguson, who's running for Treasurer.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's Guardian Radio in the AM. You want to say something before I go?
No, sir.
Guardian Radio in the AM, thank you very much for
thank
being
you for
here.
Having us.
I just wanted to feel you personally. So I appreciate you coming
thanks
here.
For the opportunity.
And go in detail with that. But anyway, we could be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama News in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and of course Aaron Green is here with me, and we're going to change directions actually. We are going to talk about A March to Glory, Yom Kippur. celebration. And I was talking to Aaron earlier. I know Yom Kippur. Isn't that a Jewish celebration? Are you familiar with Yom Kippur?
I'm going to say you know him because he used to hang out on the Fort Hill.
Different Yom Kippur.
Okay.
There's a different Yom Kippur.
Yes, yes.
This is actually a celebration, right? And in order to explain that, we have Pastor Prophet Mikkelin Seymour.
Yes.
I know Pastor Prophet Mikkelin Seymour, Pastor Seymour, right? He's active. He's one of those persons who works in changing the Bahamas and and promoting spirituality and accountability. And the idea that he's having a march, I said, okay, let me pay attention to this, right? Because Mr. Seymour's makes sense. So I want to know how we have this Jewish tradition going to be incorporated into the Bahamas. So before you start that, I want you to formally introduce yourself. So people who are not familiar with Prophet Mikkelin Seymour knows Prophet Mikkelin Seymour.
Hello, Bahamas. My name is Pastor Prophet Mikkelin Seymour. At the tender age of 33, 1988, perhaps some of you all, that's quite a bit, over 30, about 35 years ago. The Lord called me in a vision as I laid on my bed, and he began to share with me. He called my name in the atmosphere, Mikkelin Seymour, Mikkelin Seymour. As I laid on my bed, I saw the outstretched arm of the Lord in a vision. And he was checking to see whose name was in the book of life. And there I was. My name was in there. And shortly after, I found myself in an area walking through the book of Revelation where beasts were coming out of the ocean, sun turning blood in the sky and falling out of the heavens, and the moon shaking like blood and hearkening. Then the next thing I knew, I was in the bellies of hell. And a man come riding on the white horse and said, go and look for the children. And I felt myself slipped into my body, and there I was back on the earth again. Now, from that point, he began to show me the Bahamas, that the islands of the Bahamas is written down in scripture to fulfill end time prophecies. And he began to show me how through the books of the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they talk about the isles of the sea and how God will glorify his names in the isles of the sea and how God will magnify his law in the isles of the sea and how God will cause the Bahamas become an ensign to the nations of the world. And he said, this is the time of this golden jubilee. I want you to begin to sound the alarm on my holy mountain. And if that wasn't enough, he began to show me, and hear this, when Christopher Columbus sailed into these islands in 1492, he sailed into one of the most ancient civilization on the face of the earth. Scientists, marine biologists, geologists said that the Bahamas is one of the most mysterious places on the face of the earth. It's evidence there because of what has been found. They have found on the bottom of our ocean, cities and roads and temples. The evidence are there. Additionally, they have found more than 5 underwater pyramids in our ocean, just as big as those in Giza, Egypt. We don't even know we're living. And began to show me, and he took the script and began to reveal that these are the things that the prophet was talking about. We happen to be one of the most ancient civilization because there are waste under there. Surely a cataclysmic event took place. And he said that these, the islands of the Bahamas, is the waste, the original waste place of the Garden of Eden. The Bible speaks of 2. And then it said the Bahamas is the original place of the first ancient Mount Zion in the sides of the north, or the quarter of the north. His first dwelling place, like the miles away, where the people, the place where God lived. This is the place. He lives in Zion. And so we as a people, we have inherited. In 1492, Christopher Columbus came, sailed directly into the Devil Triangle. If you notice that. He sailed right into the Devil Triangle, straight to it, divinely appointed by God, so that all that he has spoken to the prophets must now be fulfilled. We are that generation that God now is going to use to cause the world to know that there's a God above their head. that time has come. And we, the day we he said to go forth now and release a March to Glory event. So under one family, one nation, one Bahamas, marching upward, onward together. As the founding father said, 1973, remember? In the national anthem, March to Glory is not a cliche. It's going to happen. As a road we trod lead to our God. No man can stop this. Hear me. No man can stop that. God has intervened on the day of Yom Kippur, one of the most holy days on the face of the earth, and aligned this nation with the day of Yom Kippur and in the last general election, as well as the 58th anniversary Golden Jubilee to happen on the day of Yom Kippur. So we are here to celebrate that with understanding that time has come.
Why did your organization choose the celebration of Yom Kippur to have this March, Glory March?
If you go back to the history, you'll find that every holy day in the land of Israel, okay, are relived at the exact and equivalent time. Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacle, in which Yom Kippur is a part. If you notice, Yom Kippur always fall in September, October. Christopher Columbus sailed in these islands during the time of September, October. We just need to understand the prophetic and significant and historical reckoning, and that is something that we are coming into. God is about to do a new thing in this nation. And if you look, we'll find out that these holy days mark the islands of the sea with the nation of Israel, because he's about to use the nation of the Bahamas like he used Israel in our biblical days. So he raised of the Bahamas to be an Israel to the Gentile nations of the world. And so the time now has come where that will be fulfilled.
I see there's a theme for your march. There is a National Day of Consecration, mm-hmm. A National Day of Repentance, mm-hmm. and a prayer of and fasting. Yes. There are themes running through this march.
Yeah.
Why are these themes important?
Because they are associated with the day of Yom Kippur. Kippur means atonement. Mm-hmm. God now has come down to do a work in this nation, and he has raised me up to as a prophet declared before they come to pass in this Golden Jubilee. Mm-hmm. So the day of Yom Kippur is a day of atonement, or a day at one meant. Mm-hmm. So he chose that day. The cause that, if you notice, on September the 16th, the nation had a general election 2021. Mm-hmm. That fall on the day of Yom Kippur. Okay? That was the day of Yom Kippur. But it also initiated 2022 on the Hebrew calendar when you align the two, because all prophecies are fulfilled on the Hebrew calendar and not the Gregorian calendar. At the end of the 2021, which was the 49th year, we see the Queen pass, Her Royal Highness pass. Do you know why? Because the time has come now for that Westminster idolatrous, wicked system of government that has had the nation oppressed for so long to now be fulfilled. We are moving into a new area. This nation is going to be one of the wealthiest nations. Not only is it going to be one of the wealthiest nations, that's why you hear carbon credit and all that stuff. This nation is going to move in another dimension, but it's going to bring glory to God.
So I want to touch on Yom Kippur, and then I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. So Yom Kippur is, like you said, a day of atonement, the mm-hmm. day of atonement. Mm-hmm. It is regarded as the most holy of holy days mm-hmm. in the Jewish culture, mm-hmm. the calendar, yes. their life. Yeah. There are things that you do on Yom Kippur. You mm-hmm. fast for 25 hours, so you do the 24 plus an hour.
Yeah.
You refrain from luxuries, mm-hmm. things like wearing leather, right? And some very fundamentalist communities, mm-hmm. they would refrain from even bathing, right? Okay. Very, very restricted activity, mm-hmm. And they would wear white. Mm-hmm. Another thing that's interesting about Yom Kippur, Mr. Nuri, is that when they pray their prayers that you say throughout the day, they pray collectively. And even when they're saying their prayer individually, it is a collective prayer. It is a we atone. Mm-hmm. We ask for forgiveness. We come before you, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Very interesting things. Mm-hmm. So it leads me to this question, sir. You in the Bahamas, though. You in a Christian nation. But you talk into, what I'm hearing is a blend of Judeo-Christian theology. The Old Testament Jewish theology is a collective salvation. We come before you, God. We entreat you. We bring our sins to you mm-hmm. for atonement. Mm-hmm. Post-Old Testament Christian theology mm-hmm. has become a very singular individual. In fact, I frame it as a Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior theology combined with a prosperity gospel theology. But mm-hmm. Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. How do you reconcile this reading of theology mm-hmm. with no separation between Old and New Testament with Bahamian's current practice of Christianity, which is very individualistic, Jesus is my boy, that's my savior, theology.
Mm-hmm. Salvation of all, I mean, let me say salvation, is of the Jews, mm-hmm. okay? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were Jew. Mm-hmm. His son were Jewish. Mm-hmm. So he come to bring salvation to the world, mm-hmm. not only to Israel. He come to bring salvation to those that are in the old and those who are in the new. Mm-hmm. Under the old, there were certain Levitical type practice that they would take goat blood, okay?
Yeah.
But under the new, the Messiah himself come with his blood and mm-hmm. shed it. But it was the same one they were worshiping in the old.
Yeah.
The new come out of the old. What happened with Christianity? If you look at the Bible, there are two churches in the earth. Christianity that started in Rome with Constantine, Catholicism, and the church that was born on the day of Pentecost. The principles are different. Mm-hmm. And when Rome ruled the world, she became the most terrible beast. She began to change the times and the seasons of the law, and all the world wandered after the beast. And so there are some things now God himself is correcting. But as it relates to where we are now, mm-hmm. because salvation is of the Jew, and for example, the calendar, going back to the calendar that we have, that is not the calendar that God gave the earth. It was the Roman who gave it. What he gave the earth in the old is what he wanted in the new. And so if they were to go by the calendar that God gave
yes.
the world, they would use the Roman calendar. I'm not a Roman calendar, Hebrew calendar. And that is what's one of the greatest deceptions in the
earth. Sir, I got 17,000 questions, but I want the people to hear about the event.
Okay.
So on the 24th of September, mm-hmm. you're having it's Yom Kippur. Uh-huh.
That's this Sunday, right?
Right, this yeah. Sunday. Uh-huh. And Yom Kippur will be celebrated or practiced, because mm-hmm. it's a practice. From the evening of the 24th into the evening of the 25th.
Which is Monday evening, yes.
Right. So the National Day of Consecration, Repentance, Prayer, and Fasting is going to be commemorated with a march and a ceremony,
mm-hmm.
right? So the location is Western Esplanade.
Yes.
You're asking people to congregate on Sunday at what time?
September the 24th, Sunday at 4 p.m.
Yes.
To midnight, actually, but the first 2 hours,
we go into
the march where we move from Western Esplanade mm-hmm. into Rawson Square
okay.
by way of Parliament Street, down west on Shirley Street by way of Government House, and then back to Western Esplanade, where from 6 to 12, midnight,
right.
we decree a national day of fasting and praying for the whole nation.
Okay.
All right? And then, of course, prayers, intercession, reconciliation, consecration, seeking the face of God for the healing of our land, and a lot mm-hmm. of the stuff that is going on, we need to deal with.
Right. And I know we're running out of time. I just want to say that what I find very interesting is this conversation about the value of collective atonement, mm-hmm. collective worship, collective spiritual practice mm-hmm. alongside individual atonement, yeah. individual spiritual engagement. Right?
What is individual atonement, though?
Well, that's when I sit in my room and I pray and I ask God for forgiveness, separate from when we come together in a intentional moment and we pray. And like I say, in Yom Kippur, the prayers are, we come before you, right? It's hundreds and thousands of years of cultural practice. Yeah. We come before you as a group, even when you're praying individually. But for many of us, we don't pray like that. Okay. We say my prayer for my things. Even when we pray for other people, right? Uh-huh. It's still my prayer.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to say that, you know, I think that that's a space that we would, as a wider community, we would gain value from that conversation.
Yeah. But again, if you look at what the scripture teach concerning Yom Kippur, mm-hmm. it started with the gathering of the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the old days, they would come around the temple. And that was the time when the high priest would go in the most holy place, bring the blood, and God would give them release, heal the land, the people, mm-hmm. the temple, the nation, and give them another release. God is doing the same thing now. But we have been chosen. Because if you look at our history in 1973, all right, on the 10th day of the 7th month, we became a nation.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that? Well, Yom Kippur falls on the 10th day of the 7th month. We are back now 50 years, all right? And on the 10th day of the 7th month, this time on the Hebrew calendar, God is reckoning it, and he did it by aligning the general election on the 49th year and the 58th Golden Jubilee, with 58th Golden Jubilee, which lines up now with what he wants to do. He has stepped down, and he said, come, people, I want to bless you. I want to use you. I want to show myself great in you.
Before you go, right, who should attend this march?
Everybody. This ain't just for saved people. God is calling the nation together to come in repentance. Okay, it's a national effort for everybody to come
mm-hmm.
before him.
I was going to say the same thing. What do you say to Christians who may be put off by the term Yom Kippur? How do you encourage them and show them that this is a vital place for them and their spiritual journey?
This is a whosoever day. Mm-hmm. Yom Kippur means to be at one meant.
Mm-hmm.
God all said this up harmony, whosoever yeah. come. All right? And we come in brokenness to him, recognizing his sovereignty as the creator of heaven and the earth, and yeah. repenting
all right.
and asking for forgiveness of sin before him so that he could heal our
a little, mind. A little tongue in cheek, but when it's time to break the fast, we're gonna fast and pray together, but when it's time to break the fast, will you have an activity for us to break the fast together?
Yes, and at the evening,
yeah.
there will be a select few of us. We are not asking the nation to come together, mm-hmm. but we will acknowledge the end of the fast.
All right.
And how do I contact you to be a part of it?
I got the numbers right here, 806-0502 mm-hmm. and 554-8880. That's 806-0502, 554-8880. 80.
Yes.
And thank you very much, Pastor Seymour. This has been Garden Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. You have a beautiful weekend.
Thank you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.